The Church of Christ is a kingdom. Its king is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the highest. He is the king of all the kingdoms of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ has a constitution. The constitution of the kingdom is the New Testament of Jesus Christ, the second half of the book that we call the Bible. The word new contrasts Christ's testament with the testament that began with Abraham over 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born into the world. God appeared to Abraham and gave him a promise. This promise became the cornerstone of a relationship between mankind and the Creator of the universe. The promise God made to Abraham included these words, "In thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis 12:3. We learn later that the blessing that God promised the world was forgiveness of sins. Freedom from the fear of death was a byproduct of forgiveness. That's right. Death is a very real part of the human experience. When you live long enough, you will become very acquainted with death. Freedom from death is a wonderful hope. Furthermore, to experience again the presence of loved ones gone before is indeed a great and wonderful hope. You see, someone forgiven does not have to suffer a penalty for his misdeeds or sins. He is forgiven. He is free from the penalty. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. But not just physical death is the wage of sin, but eternal everlasting death is the penalty of sin. The word death means separation. So if we're talking about physical death, we're talking about a physical separation between the spirit and the body, the flesh. In physical death, the spirit is separated from the body, leaving the body dead, that is, without a spirit. Spiritual death, however, is a separation of the human spirit from its Creator, God Almighty. God is the Heavenly Father of every human being because He is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12:9 says. To be separated from God is the ultimate death. It is a spiritual death that living people have never experienced. You see, God is always in your presence. He is in and He is with the world. And He is ever present in spirit through His Holy Spirit in every place at all times. God's own spirit hovers over the world like a hen gathers and hovers over her chicks. Living human beings on the face of this planet have never experienced true separation from the presence of God. But those who die without forgiveness of sins shall die a spiritual death. And the Bible calls this the second death. The opposite of experiencing the second death is to experience eternal life. That is, to continue living in the presence of God throughout eternity. Never being separated from God is eternal life. Well, the only way that sinful human beings can escape the second death is to be pardoned. That's right, forgiven. We are guilty of sin. God knows it, and you and I know it. But God has made an arrangement whereby He is justified in forgiving your sins and mine. God's plan is gigantic. God can not only forgive the sins of this generation, but the sins of every generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth. This great salvation began to be worked out in that first agreement that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And through that covenant, that agreement that He made with Abraham, God promised Abraham that through his seed, his descendant, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that blessing is forgiveness. Written constitutions for kingdoms and for governments set up or establish laws by which the people live. Most countries of the world have a constitution. That document is an agreement between the government and the people who are governed as to what can and cannot be done. This is the reason I call the New Testament of Jesus Christ a constitution. It is a document composed by Jesus and his apostles that establishes the government of Jesus Christ. The old prophet Isaiah foresaw Jesus' government over 700 years before Jesus set up his kingdom. He said, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness." Isaiah 9:6-7. In the New Testament of Jesus Christ, we learn that Christ's kingdom is for the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3. Those who are bankrupt in spirit are the ones for whom the kingdom is. It is also composed of people who will stand up for righteousness even when it means they will be persecuted, Matthew 5:10. People who think little of God's commandments and teaches others to disregard God's laws will be considered the least in the kingdom. The greatest are those who humble themselves like little children and who will follow the commands of God, says Matthew 5:19 and also chapter 18:4. Well, Jesus taught that the one who merely calls him Lord but does not do what Jesus says cannot even enter into the kingdom, Matthew 7:21. Jesus predicted that the kingdom would be spread wide across the world, calling men and women of all kinds of cultures into his growing kingdom. He said, "I tell you this, many will come from east and west and sit down at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 8:11. In another figure of speech, Jesus said that the kingdom is like a net let down into the sea. When brought up, the net is full of all kinds of fish. It takes many different peoples, you see, to make up the kingdom of God. John the Apostle saw in a vision that the kingdom of heaven is composed of a great multitude that no one could number, from all nations, from all tribes and peoples and languages, Revelation 7:9. Jesus went on to say that the sons of the kingdom, that is, those people who were given the first opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God, well, these sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, into a place where people are weeping and gnashing their teeth, Matthew 8:12. Oh yes, here, friends, is great regret. To be the children of the kingdom and yet cast out must cause great regret. How many of our own children have heard the story of the kingdom of God, but have not chosen to live in the kingdom, or, having lived in it, have now turned their backs on it? Oh, it is a great regret that these will feel unless they come to their senses like the prodigal son in Jesus' parable, Luke 15. Friends, the good news of the kingdom of Christ and the reign of Jesus Christ is that he reigns for the peace and prosperity of his people. That's right. Peace comes to our hearts because we've been forgiven and added to his church, his kingdom. We have peace with God, and we pursue peace with all people everywhere, with all the strength that lies within us, Romans 12:18. Christians seek the prosperity of all peoples everywhere, no matter if they are Christians or not. Christians are taught not to be selfish. Christians reach out and try to help those who have so little that they cannot live. Christians stand for the prosperity of their fellow men. Christians are taught to honor government and obey governing people insofar as they can without disobeying God. When the apostles were commanded to speak no more in the name of Jesus, Peter boldly but politely replied, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Acts 4, verse 19. No wonder that Jesus promised to such people as Peter this: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5, 10 and 11. Well, the kingdom of Christ is not for everyone. No, but friends, woe to the one who refuses Jesus Christ. That's right. The kingdom is not for evildoers. The kingdom is not for the proud and arrogant. The kingdom is not for the unforgiving. For Jesus taught his citizens that they must forgive others just as they have been forgiven. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. The kingdom is not for those who are unwilling to suffer for it. The kingdom is not for those who cannot patiently endure what the world and Satan will throw at them. It takes courage and perseverance to live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He had the courage and perseverance to suffer the second death on behalf of the world. Jesus is God's justification for forgiving your sins. Will you listen to the invitation of King Jesus? He invites you to take up his yoke and learn of him. For he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28. Do you have a heart to come to Jesus? We invite you to learn more about the Church of Jesus Christ, established by Christ, ruled by Christ, King Jesus.